Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
ETN in trouble, and he's going to be buried by Neville Hewitt, but they're going to keep him out at the one, the officials say. In any case, it is over. The Houston Texans come back to beat the Jaguars 24-20. A final drive to remember as Stroud found Dario Gunbowale for the game winner. Defense just had to kill the final 12 seconds. And the Houston Texans go to 3-1, solidifying their lead in the AFC South.
The goal for us every week is to win. There's no such thing as an ugly win to me. Like, you finish with the win because, as we know, in this league, wins are hard to come by. It doesn't matter who you play. So, man, I'm just proud to get a win. And it doesn't matter to me how we win them. Just finish with the win.
That is where we will start today. That is where we will start on a reaction Monday, a victorious reaction Monday. And I think that cannot be lost on us today, is that this team is 3-1. They are 2-0 in the AFC South. I know there was a lot of laundry on the field yesterday. I understand that. I get that. But as we welcome you in on a victorious reaction Monday, that is where I choose to start because, yes, they indeed did win the football game yesterday. Thank God C.J. Stroud is the quarterback for this football team. As we welcome you in, I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne.
Yo.
How you feeling this morning?
I feel good. Which game was it where we came in, we decided, when we realized, gosh, you know what, I think it was after the Sunday night game. We were like, we're probably a little too negative after that win, like, and forgetting that
2-0.
They were 2-0.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I feel more justified now in that, even as the Bills looked very mortal last night versus the Ravens.
Very mortal, yeah.
That there's things on this team where you get, it's like being frustrated with your child who is an A student but is getting B's.
Yep.
Right? That's, or at least you know they have
exactly
the potential.
What it is. Yeah.
You're like, come on.
Yeah.
Like my brother and I. My brother was a C. Well, they used to think he was dumb. It turns out he wasn't at all. And they should have. No. Yeah, but he was a C student. So it's like, as long as he was not failing and getting C's, cool. You're good to go, man. But other siblings in the family,
such as,
come home with a B+. I'm like, what's going on, Seth?
Yeah.
What is it? You know, that's how I feel about the Texans right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You're capable of so much more. Why? Why are you doing all these things?
Why are you making it so hard on yourselves?
Why are you hanging out with those shady kids? They're no good for you.
Right. So let's start with the win though. Texans win yesterday.
No. What did he say? What did he say? No ugly wins.
No ugly wins.
No toothy. No ugly wins.
No ugly wins. D'Amico Ryan said it yesterday. No ugly wins. They're 3-1. And this is the, and we're going to hear from D'Amico here in just a second. In fact, let's do it now. This was D'Amico. Yeah. This was practically an opening statement yesterday that he did at the press conference. Because D'Amico knows that they can't keep getting a dozen penalties every game. For the third straight game, they had 11 or more penalties. They can't keep doing this. He knows that. But it is a win. The Texans are 3-1. I will remind you that a little over a year ago, this was a team that everybody thought was going to be one of the three or four worst teams in football. Now they're being judged, and I think appropriately so, like a team that aspires to be one of the three or four best teams in football. It's remarkable that that's happened in a year. But this is where we are. Here is D'Amico Ryans on how proud he is of his guys.
Wow. What a game. What a battle. Very proud of our guys. We talked last night in our team meeting just about, like, whatever it takes, whoever it takes, and however long it takes, let's just find a way to finish this first month of the season 3-1. So very proud of our guys for finishing the right way. As we know, a lot of things to clean up for us with the penalties. It's like we're trying to break the record for most penalties in the league, which we got to clean up. This is our third straight game of over 10 penalties. It's just, not good enough. And we have to find the guys who want to do it right all the time and play clean football there. But very proud of the effort from all of our guys. CJ, he let us down when we needed to. Darray stepping up big time for us. And Nico, and he's been lights out this entire year. Like, to start the season, like being the NFL's leading receiver, he just shows up every single time we need a play. Nico is making a play. So I'm so thankful and happy for him that he's on our team.
Oh, I'm thankful for Nico, too. I would save that for November, late November, where he'll have had, what, 8 more 100-yard receiving games?
Yeah.
Most likely by that point. You and I were talking before the show, and you said, thank God they have CJ and Nico. And I said, you know, in a lot of ways, this this team, it's kind of like the 2004 Texans, except it's like with Andre Johnson and a much better quarterback.
A much better version of the quarterback.
So it's not, as far as the actual wins and how they've come by them and everything, I'm like, yeah, I feel like if we just swapped QBs, we might be the exact same teams.
Yeah.
That's why it's frustrating at times. Look, it was five straight punts in the second half.
Yeah.
It was astounding how inept and ineffectual they were. And yet, that final drive where they really weren't in, it didn't feel like hurry-up mode. It almost felt like a four-minute drill where you're trying to grind down as much time as possible. But they moved methodically down the field, and I think the fact that Ogunbowale and Dalton Schultz and others were big parts of that drive, to me, when I'm looking at the team over the course of the first 4 weeks, you got to figure out who you are, what you can do, how you're going to make your money. And, you know, maybe they learned some things, because defensively as well, you pointed out that they somehow just hemmed it up in the fourth quarter.
That Tank Bigsby run was the last good play the Jacksonville Jaguars had on offense the entire game.
After, Kalen Bullock saves what appeared to be a touchdown.
Would have put him up 10.
And the run defense, which allowed 158 yards rushing on the day, makes a very impressive goal line stand. And maybe that was a turning point in some regards. You know, maybe they figured some things out. But I did, after being really, really frustrated for a long time in that game, at the very end, you know when you can tell. I think in the fourth quarter, I just felt like I'm not going to be happy no matter who wins this game. I feel like I'm just, nobody deserves to win this game. I surprised myself by, after that win, kind of feeling like, you know what? All right, I got to quit being a jerk. That was gritty as hell.
Dude.
That was gritty as hell in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, dude, look, by the defense on the last three drives.
By the whole team, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just listing. By the defense on the last three drives, and the fact that with 2 minutes and 54 seconds left when the Texans got the ball back at their own 31, despite them having punted five straight times, my confidence level was very high that C.J. Stroud was going to go do something positive on that final drive, just because that's who he is. You're right. Sometimes relief is joy. I was relieved after that game yesterday more than anything else. You needed to win that game. If we're coming in here today and they're 2-2, and I know the Bills got destroyed last night, but that's a good football team coming into town on Sunday, the Bills. If you're coming in 2-2 with the Colts now tied with you in the division, the team you just beat 2 weeks ago, and you've got Buffalo and two road games afterwards, that's tough sledding. They needed to win that game yesterday. So, yeah, man, like sometimes look around the league. You know, like look, like take a look around the league and see what the records are of some of the teams that we're expecting as big of things as the Texans are this season. Like, it's a crazy year so far. It's a minefield for everybody so far. I know a lot of the Texans' wounds are self-inflicted, and that's what makes it so frustrating, is it feels so fixable and so careless. All these penalties, that makes it very frustrating. It also makes it fixable, and it makes it, hey, man, we're 3-1 through all this garbage that they've gone through in the first 4 weeks.
I think that's ultimately what it ends up being, is a reminder that even though on KHOU last night, Jason Bristol made a good counterpoint to something I said. I talked about the youth and, you know, some of the things that it's hard to believe and accept, but there are some really good young players who are going to get better. At least that's the way it should work, as long as you're getting coached up. Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter will get better. I think if you look at yesterday's game, the thing I kept thinking was, my God, if Sam Darnold was the quarterback of the Jaguars, they'd be getting crushed right now.
Yep.
Because Kamari Lassiter had a couple. He bit on the double move the one time. He got beat on a go route another time. Yeah. But these are the things that good young rookie players do. You know, Derek Stingley was a better player in his second 8 games in the NFL.
Yeah.
I can't remember when those finally came. But it seemed like it took forever.
It took a while.
But so that'll improve. Offensively, I think, look, we can say, you can almost use penalties as a synonym for offensive line right now.
Sadly.
I guess fewer false starts, but, or was it just fewer by Laramie Tunsil?
Laramie had no false starts. He lined up properly the entire game, but then in the fourth quarter, he had two crippling holding penalties.
Yeah. It looked like Shaq Mason got screwed on at least one of those.
I haven't gone back and watched.
I haven't watched that close enough to see what movement the defensive lineman thought there was. But look, Laramie's, and as was pointed out on the broadcast, and a friend of mine who was an offensive lineman in the NFL said the first lesson his college coach told him his freshman year was, if you're an offensive lineman and you're wearing bright colored gloves, you're a moron.
We had somebody, we've already had a text about that to the show 3 minutes ago. Maybe our O-lineman should stop wearing red gloves and the opposing team is wearing white uniforms.
What's my biggest issue that I forgot I'd even said, but a bunch of people reminded me via text? Oh, the Instagram OTs. They're not OGs. They're Instagram OTs.
They're fashionistas.
You got to have a little flair.
Oh, yeah.
How many flair buttons do you have today, Titus? I've got so much flair. Look at my red gloves. You're going to see how sweet these hands are my red gloves.
Red, bright red gloves against a white background. So I think the themes from yesterday, look, the CJ and Nico combo is special to watch. No question about that. Nico's making a run at Offensive Player of the Year here early on. Yeah. He's already fifth on the odds board last week, and now he goes 12 catches for $150 yesterday. His catches are so big, too. They come at such crucial times, it feels like.
The one thing I'm wondering, too, and this is not a huge problem. This is not like a number one on my list of concerns or anything. There are times where, man, because CJ is so good in the scramble drill with Nico, I worry that they might develop the bad habit of extending plays a little too long than just waiting for somebody to come open. You know, we used to see that with Deshaun and DeAndre.
Yeah.
Because, man, if you just wait long enough, listen, CJ, sometimes you just got to accept reality. This is not the offensive line to do that behind.
No.
Although pass protection improved in the fourth quarter as well. They figured some things out. Well, but
that Josh Hines Allen got concussed.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, that's right.
He missed the last quarter and a half of the game. But they took advantage on that last drive. So Texans win 24-20 yesterday against the Jags. 3-1, 2-0 in the division. They're leading the division. Hell, if the Chargers could have found a way to beat the Chiefs yesterday, that game was 10-10 late into the fourth quarter. The Chargers could have found a way to beat the Chiefs. The Texans would be the number one seed in the AFC right now.
I said yesterday, hey, all you people who were really concerned, and you remember I was trying not to be a grumpy old man about it. But, I was trying real hard not to be a grumpy old man about, hey, the Texans acting kind of like they've arrived and done something already. Like, there's a level of confidence and braggadocio that I'm like, I'm not so sure I'm comfortable with this.
We're there.
I felt like, after the game, I felt like, hey, look, even though the Texans won, you were proven correct in
that.
You're
justified.
They're playing like a team that doesn't quite understand what kind of an edge they really need to win. And yet, in the standings, they've kind of arrived.
The Chargers could have closed the deal yesterday. They're number one in the AFC.
Doesn't change the way I feel about it at all. But you're right. It is a good. It's good. It's a good reminder of just how haphazard everything is.
Yeah, dude. The house is not burning down by any means. That's what I would tell Texan fans. All right. Let's circle back. The Texans. I don't think they got Doug Peterson fired yesterday. But boy, they sure had him pointing fingers after the game. We'll have that for you. And we now know who the Astros are going to be playing. We got to react to that as well. We know this is storyline wise. This might be as good as it gets in the wild card round around baseball, the Astros series, and we'll tell you why coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Reaction Monday. After the game yesterday, we heard from D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico's happy with the win. We'll hear his locker room speech at the top of the hour. To the guys, I think D'Amico, I think, is trying as hard as he can within the joy of winning to still get the message across that this is not right. This is not good.
Yeah.
We cannot keep getting 12 penalties a game.
I think honestly, and I have not, I've been very busy and not really been checking in on comments on social media and everything. I'm guessing if people are starting to wonder, you know what? All right, D'Amico's a hell of a positive guy and everything, but maybe it's time for a little bit of a dressing down. Are we in danger of D'Amico being a Ned Flanders here? Where basically,
Hiley ho, Laramie, nice hole.
Laramie Tunsil is Homer Simpson digging a hole in Ned Flanders' yard, and And D'Amico would say, hey, Laramie. Great to see you today. Here's the thing. Could you think it'd be possible for you to stop stabbing us in the face with these penalties? Could you stop doing that? Laramie's like, nope. I got to keep these pressures down at all costs. Got to be sure no pressure's allowed, no matter how many penalties I get.
Could you stop whole diddly holding?
Yeah.
That would be great. All right, so let's. So we know where D'Amico's at, and we'll hear more from D'Amico in a little bit. We're going to get to the Astros in just a few minutes here as well. We now know who they're going to be playing. But this was Doug Peterson. This was Doug Peterson after the game yesterday, Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. His team put up much more of a fight yesterday than they did on Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills. Yet they're still 0-4 in a season where the owner has called this the greatest assembly of talent in Jaguars history. They remain one of two winless teams. Both in the AFC South, by the way. The Titans will try to get off the schneid tonight on a game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. Here's Doug Peterson. He was asked about taking play calling duties back from his OC, Press Taylor.
Yeah.
Here's what he had to say.
Is there any chance you take the headset over just to change this thing up?
For what? I thought he called a great game. We, as coaches, we can't go out there and make the plays, right? It's a two-way street. So, you know, you guys can sit here and point the finger all you want, and that's fine. Point it right at me. I can take it. Okay? I can take it. So, whatever you want to ask me, say, whatever, write, go ahead.
Point the finger right at me.
Yeah, yeah.
After he said, guys, got to go make plays. Point the finger right at me.
I'll tell you one thing. I mean, I don't know if all the players should get mad. Maybe Trevor Lawrence should just say, well, yeah, I mean, look, I did airmail some wide open wide receivers. We had every opportunity to put that game away, really, in a lot of respects. Against the Texans offense, that couldn't get the ball moving. If I could just throw within 3 feet of wide open receivers, we might be all right. So I don't know. That's what I would do if I were Doug Peterson. I'd get up and look. I see people are concerned that I wasn't supporting you guys and I was saying the play calling was okay. Mostly I was saying that Trevor Lawrence, we can't be giving Trevor Lawrence a bunch of attaboys. Where did he break the 60% completion mark yesterday?
I don't know that he did. I'll look up
He came in with an Anthony Richardson like 52% completion percentage.
Yeah.
But man, he missed some really easy opportunities for big plays.
Did he ever?
That was one of the frustrating things about yesterday was it. Look, the other big part, the fact that special teams have been such an issue for this team, and two of its victories made very, very close because of special teams.
Way closer than it should have been.
Blocked punt in the first week, and then you have Steven Sims, who just had a complete and total meltdown yesterday. I mean, it was bookends, right? In the first quarter, he muffed the punt, and then was it in the fourth quarter when he had the penalty on the sideline?
I think it was.
Yeah,
I think it was. And the penalty was an unsportsmanlike. After just sort of catching the ball, you know, it wasn't after a return where a guy popped him or anything. Like Steven Sims, it was an angle punt towards the sidelines, and he just catches it and kind of walks out of bounds, which is what you do there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, there's laundry on the ground. Like, what's going on?
You know, the other thing he did, Sims. He almost made the same mistake. Not that it would have been a penalty or anything, but it makes me nervous. Remember a couple of games ago or last week, he called for the fair catch, the ball bounced, and then he still tried to receive it. It's not a penalty, but it's just kind of like, okay, what are you doing? Once you fair catch, it's over. He almost called a fair catch before he caught the ball this time, pulled himself back.
Yeah, the stuff he did.
The operation just looked uncomfortable.
Steven Sims might be a great guy. I don't know Steven Sims at all. He might be a great dude. I'm telling you right now, the stuff he did yesterday is what gets you cut from the team when you're on the team solely to return kicks.
Especially when you've got one or two extra receivers on your roster than most teams carry.
Robert Woods can go back there and fair catch.
Yeah, John Metchie exists.
Yes.
There are options.
Yeah. And they're not
Dez King's on the practice squad.
Right.
Put Dez out there.
Right. No, there's plenty of options out there. Doug Peterson. There were a lot of people that Doug Peterson quote right there that I saw. Not a lot of people, but I saw people who had tweeted the video out thinking, this is going to be a problem in the locker room. I'll tell you what. Like, I'm kind of, like, you're 0-4. I don't have a big problem with the coach doing a drive-by on the players saying that they got to make plays when you're getting asked about shuffling your coaching staff.
You guys are 0-4. Is everything fine except for this one thing?
Right.
Of course, he did pretty adamantly say that everything was just fine. I think the coach speak rule book there at that point says, look, everybody shoulders the blame in this. We gotta go back. We got to evaluate. We got to watch the film and see where the execution needs to be. So I think Doug Peterson getting angry there is Somebody texted me yesterday, how the hell did this guy take a Super Bowl away from the Patriots?
It's like, dude,
this guy's running. This guy's throwing
question.
The ball. Blame Trevor Lawrence all you want, but you're throwing the ball when you've got a lead in the fourth quarter for God knows what reason when you've been able to run all. Now, to the Texans' credit, they've been shutting down the run after that Bigsby huge run.
Yeah.
I don't know if that – if I've run for 158 yards in a game and the defense has a couple nice plays against the run, I don't abandon the run. I don't think that all of a sudden, while somehow these guys are right. They've figured us out.
They ran 60. It looks like 16 plays after the Tank Bigsby 58-yard run. Credit to Kalen Bullock. You're going to get acknowledged a little later for your hustle. Good job. They ran 16 plays and they got a total of 21 yards. You know, the rest of the game. So I don't know if adjustments were made. I don't know if they, you know, they just figure some things out.
I'll tell you what, on that big run, they line up in this front sometimes. A lot of teams do it now where both defensive tackles are to on the same side of the ball. And then over on the left, you got a linebacker lined up in a two-point stance as your three technique. And then you got a defensive end over there. And usually either one of the defensive ends slants or defensive tackle slants back across the line, or it's a blitz or something. I don't know what the hell happened on that play, whether it was a mental error or if it was a call, but there you had a linebacker as your three technique is how it ended up playing. It was just opening the gate, because my first instinct was, well, okay, yeah, it's a great hustle play by Kalen Bullock, but was he out of position to begin with? But I don't know. I mean, it was just, it kind of reminded me of some of those Jalen Petrie tackles he had to make in his rookie year, where he missed a lot of tackles, but I gave him some excuses because there was nobody else around him.
Yeah.
I mean, they just opened the floodgates there for that 150 or for that huge run,
dude.
So I think maybe just getting a little bit more vanilla after that and playing football, like that goal line stand was just the defensive tackles playing good, solid football.
I wonder too, like Kalen Bullock's in the game. If Jimmy Ward is healthy, Tank Bigsby probably scores.
Oh, yeah, because Jimmy's not, he does not have that speed.
He's not a speedster, man. Yeah, yeah.
Bullock almost, there have been at least two occasions this year where he's so fast and he comes over so quick that he's collided with another guy that's trying to make an interception.
Happens a lot,
because he's over there and help. A lot of times he's bailing out a cornerback that isn't in the best position, and yet, man, he's so rangy.
Yeah, he is. He's fun, man. He's fun. All right, so Texans win. We'll get back to that in headlines. Top of the hour, we'll hear from what it sounded like inside the locker room. We'll dig into the final drive of the game, which was, you know, in a second half where they were in second and long and third and long the entire half. It's amazing when the longest down and distance you're in is second and four on a drive. So we'll go through that final drive at 7 o'clock as well. We'll acknowledge people at 7:20. It's a Reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610. Astros, let's react to that a little bit. I would say around baseball, if people are hoping for matchups in the wild card round, you know, three versus six, four versus five in the two leagues, we're going to have four. I know Astro fans are a little unfamiliar with this because we haven't had to go through this in a 162-game season before.
Right, we had the one-game series, but not the three.
We had the one game, and in the COVID year, it was 16 teams made it, so everybody had to play a two-out-of-three round. But this is called the wild card round, people. This is best two out of three. All the games will be at Minute Maid Park, so that's good news. I would say around baseball, if the baseball gods, the higher-ups were hoping for storylines, this is a pretty good one. A.J. Hinch coming back to Houston to take on his old team in a best two out of three playoff series with a team that is every bit as hot as the Houston Astros are.
Yeah,
right
this
now.
Is it's funny. You know, we've seen so many stats over the last couple months about the Astros since June 1st. They've been this or they've been that. Same articles have been written about the Tigers, who are the best team in baseball since July 1st. So you change one from a 6-1 to a 7-1.
You got to figure out what dates to pick.
Yeah, I know. We need to arbitrarily go, oh, yeah, well, how about since July 14th?
Bastille Day.
Yeah. You guys are forgetting Juneteenth, aren't you? Typical. Yeah. So, the Astros are the best team since June 1st. The Tigers are the best team since July 1st. Yeah. They have the best pitching staff since July 1st. You could say the two hottest teams in baseball. And the pitching numbers, I think, since July 1st are better for the Tigers than the Astros since, I don't know how it all shakes out.
They're both really good.
I would say the Astros pitching is deeper throughout starting pitching. But they have Skubal, who I feel like we might underestimate because he wasn't his normal self versus the Astros, but probably going to win the Cy Young.
Probably
going to
win the Cy Young.
Very, very good pitcher, and it's going to be him versus Framber.
Yeah, him and that's the other thing. Like whatever we're saying about Skubal here, and I know Skubal is going to win the Cy Young probably. They've got to be saying the same thing about Framber up in Detroit today. You know, like that's the thing. Like I got to avoid Skubal, and it's true. He's a guy who can. In the postseason for years, it's, man, if you got one hammer at the top of the rotation, you can start him in games one, game five, and he can be on alert in game seven when it's all hands on to come in and go get you a save, that kind of thing. In a wild card round where it's best two out of three, Skubal can get half the job done for you.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what? I wonder, I'll be interested. I didn't really pay attention when the Astros were playing the Tigers. I don't pay attention to the boos of Altuve or anything anymore. I'm guessing our listeners certainly probably noticed this. Did in Detroit, was there less booing of Altuve and other being better than everybody else?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Award winners.
Text in. I don't recall.
So, I mean, because it's A.J. Hinch. So it's A.J. Hinch versus all the headlines I'm reading are for Tigers manager A.J. Hinch.
Yeah.
His team's clinch brings a sip of redemption.
No, this is a huge story. Yeah. This is a storyline. This is how I judge storylines.
Yeah.
This is a storyline where if I didn't have an interest in either of the teams, I would probably still watch this series based on the A.J. Hinch versus. I mean, that was a monster story back in 2020. A.J. Hinch was a world champion who had been to the World Series twice in 3 years, came within a game of winning two World Series in 3 years, was the manager of the ascension of what's been the, you know, the closest thing to a dynasty that we've had in baseball this century. And he got fired.
Yeah.
He got fired. For one of the most noteworthy scandals of all time. So this is a huge storyline. Here's A.J. Hinch yesterday at the end of the game, at the end of the Tigers game, where, you know, he's finding out, hey, this is who we're going to play.
I saw the Houston packet on my desk from the advance. So we'll start the study now. I mean, baseball, I tell you, it's going to take you places. And sometimes it's going to take you places where you've been. So, I look forward to the challenge. We'll be there soon.
That's A.J. Hinch.
Sounds like he's out for blood, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like he's ready to stick it in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could be. If we wanted to be irresponsible and dredge up all various things. Look, A.J. Hinch, at least, he's kind of characterized it, or it's been characterized as, look, in a baseball clubhouse, the veterans, it's not like football necessarily, the veterans hold a lot of sway.
Yeah.
And it sounded like, there's a little bit of like, hey, Carlos, this is Carlos Beltran's show when it comes to how we're going to figure out how to steal signs and everything. And A.J. Hinch didn't like it, and he threw a couple hissy fits over it.
Smashed a monitor.
He still owes, he owes the Astros money for a monitor.
Has he not paid them back yet?
Right, yeah. But he didn't put a stop to it. So,
right.
There's a lot of dynamics here, and a lot of, I don't think he holds any of the players personally accountable or anything. We saw him having, we know he at least eats with Carlos Correa every now and
then. That's true. Yeah. They were over at,
what was that?
Whatever.
Place?
It's a place right over off of San Felipe.
You and I said we were going to go there the next day.
Yeah. And scouted out.
We've never been there since.
We never did that.
So, I don't know. Emotionally, how do you feel about A.J. Hinch coming in? Do you want to embarrass him?
I like A.J. Hinch. This is unlike what we're doing with the Texans, where it feels like they need style points here, so we feel better about the next game.
Yeah.
I don't care how they win. It's a wild card round, man. It's two out of three.
Yeah.
I survive in advance.
I like, this is like Skubal's going to be a Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah.
The Astros tagged him for four runs on June 14th, one of the arbitrary dates. That's Bastille Day?
Back when they weren't playing all that well, July 14th.
Oh, that's Bastille Day? Okay.
Yeah,
Look, Skubal is going to be motivated, but it'd be a fun, nice story if the Astros just owned this pitcher who's been phenomenal this year.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool for sure. All the games are 1:32 p.m. starts. As Seth pointed out on Twitter yesterday, if it's 1:30, you're disrespected. But 1:32... is basically prime time.
Yeah, we made it, baby. We made it, baby. You get another ALCS appearance, you might get moved to that precious 2 p.m. Central slot.
God.
Yeah, baby.
Listen to you. All right, let's get to headlines. Texans win yesterday. We mentioned the Astros. The NFL yesterday. Some interesting injury news and news on the team coming into town to play the Texans next week. We'll get into all that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines. Texans beat the Jags 24-20 yesterday. A final waning moments drive by C.J. Stroud. 9 plays, 69 yards. We'll dig into that drive in a little more detail at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock. C.J. was fantastic for really most of the game. The offense went into a lull in the second half. Penalties had a lot to do with that again.
They scored on three of their first of the four drives in the first half.
The first half, they looked great.
It wasn't lights out fireworks or anything, but they were moving the ball. They were doing, and then they just died in the second half
until the final drive. Yeah, in the third quarter until the final drive. Yeah, it was rough sledding offensively. But I thought CJ overall had a really good game. No Tank Dell, no Joe Mixon. Hopefully Joe Mixon back this week. We'll talk about the running game, all that. There's plenty to dissect from this. I think, to me, the biggest story other than the final drive was the way the defense tightened up the screws in the fourth quarter of this game and kept giving the offense chances to go. It was 20-17. It felt like forever in the second half of this game. Here was C.J. Stroud on the role the defense played in the game.
Man, they played their tails off. You know, it's not always perfect. It's not always, you know, how we draw it up, but that's the NFL. You know, those guys, the Jaguars, are a heck of a team. I don't think that their record, you know, shows who they are. You know, they've had some, you know, some injuries and things like that. But, you know, they play really hard, and I feel like, you know, when it's a division opponent as well, it makes it a little harder just because, you know, that means a lot for the playoff run and everything like that. But, you know, we got the stack of win. Me and Aziz were talking about, you got to play complimentary football. You know, when the offense is down, the defense got to pick us up. When the defense down, offense got to pick it up. And, you know, and special teams got to blanket everything. So we got to play three phases of football, you know, at a high level, and we got to clean a lot of things up. But, you know, defense played really, really well today, I thought.
That goal line stand after the big Bigsby run, the really impressive thing about that to me was that the defensive tackles, and not just the starters, multiple different defensive tackles made really good plays versus the run on those two big stuffs. I mean, Khalil Davis was in there, and he didn't make the tackle, but he penetrated, and somebody else got the tackle. Foley Fatakasi on the QB run. The biggest thing I would question if I were in Jacksonville was, like, you know, the Texans really only have two linebackers that they feel good about. Why are we down on the 1 yard line spreading it out? And instead of making the Texans get out here with the personnel that they don't have and just try to, like, out physical them? Because then the Texans were just playing. They weren't in goal line defense.
Yeah.
Toa Toa made a great play on the second and two. Yeah. So for all of the issues that they had in that game defending the run, they came up huge, huge in a clutch moment.
That's probably the genesis of the question and answer with Peterson that we played in the previous segment, where Doug Peterson, the coach of the Jags, was asked about taking back play calling duties from Press Taylor, their OC. If I had to guess, third down where they passed at the 1 yard line and Derek Stingley Jr. broke up that pass in the back corner of the end zone. And then fourth and goal at the one, the very first play of the fourth quarter, where they're in empty. They're spread empty at the 1 yard line and they run a QB draw.
Right. And that's what we had talked in the pregame about, hey, maybe some of how the Jaguars try to get themselves going is more designed QB runs. And, turns out that was a bad strategy, at least on the very end of the game. I thought their zone reads and stuff like that with Trevor Lawrence, he's a legitimate running threat, so you have to respect them. They just can't tie it all together. They do feel like one of these teams that's struggling with a new age offensive coordinator who wants to be a passing guru. Because all these kids grew up wanting to be passing gurus. And now they're faced with this situation in the NFL where all of a sudden teams are defending the run a lot better than, or defending the deep ball a lot better than they have been before. But everybody wants to be a genius.
They do.
Press Taylor's trying too hard to be a genius sometimes.
I guess.
I think Bobby Slowick falls into that category right now. I mean, look, the best runs the Texans have had since Joe Mixon went down have been like the damn fun, but they're gadget plays in the first half. I mean, that was awesome. It was a well-designed play. But there's a part of me that feels like, okay, maybe instead of however much time you spent working on that gadget play, the team would be better served overall by just doing old school inside run drills. You know, actually
trying to run a trap up the middle or something.
Yeah,
like
just
that.
Yeah, run some inside zone in practice instead. Like, let's get better at that before we mess with the gadgetry.
All right, so Texans win. That's the good news. 3-1, 2-0 in the division. Congrats to them. We'll talk more about it at the top of the hour. We'll hear what D'Amico Ryan's victory speech sounded like to the guys. Does this sound different than the ones we've been hearing after previous wins? We'll get to that at the top of the hour. We mentioned it in the previous segment. We'll mention it again. The Astros will face the Tigers in the 3-6 seed wild card round in the American League. The other American League series will be the Baltimore Orioles hosting the Kansas City Royals. So we get to welcome home AJ Hinch, who had this to say about the Astros wild card round.
I saw the Houston packet on my desk from the advance, so we'll start the study now. I mean, baseball, I tell you, it's gonna take you places, and sometimes it's gonna take you places where you've been. So I look forward to the challenge. We'll be there soon.
We'll be there soon.
Yeah,
that's the headline. Today. Let's just be guilty of headline porn this week because we need to dredge up some hatred for AJ Hinch.
That is true.
Hard man to hate.
Should we do
unless you're a Yankees fan?
Should we do a 5 reasons I hate you for the Tigers?
Yes,
tomorrow?
We should do one, and we should do one. Let's get petty. Let's get petty AF.
Super petty.
Let's do 5 reasons we hate. No, I can't do it. I was going to say 5 reasons we hate AJ Hinch, but I can't do that.
It's hard to find.
Even
5
in
reasons.
Fun, I can't do it.
I mean, we know the big one is he took out Zach Greinke in Game 7 of the World Series.
Right. Okay.
That's the biggest.
Should
one.
Should we do a muted version of 5 reasons I hate AJ Hinch?
I think what we do is do 5 reasons I hate the Detroit Tigers with full vitriol, and at least one of the bullets is Hinch related.
The 5 manufactured reasons to hate AJ Hinch.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Let's just make stuff up.
It always bothered me that he lived in the Woodlands when he was here. It feels like, you know why? Because it's rubbing it in the face of football coaches. It's like,
I got time to drive in.
You got to sleep on your couch, huh? You're such a grinder.
I got time for a 1-hour commute each way.
I'm going to listen to podcasts. I'm going to listen to NPR podcasts on the way in.
That's right. Hey, quickly here, and we'll get to this in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Buffalo is going to be coming to town angry. They got smoked by the Ravens last night.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
35-10.
Derrick Henry, thank you for my redemption.
Derrick Henry, $199, including an 87-yard run right out of the chute for a touchdown.
Old man still got it, Sean.
He does still got it.
The old fella still got it.
He does.
This offense matched up well versus that defense. Yeah. The Bills had faced a lot of quarterbacks who were really good attacking the outside of the numbers, and I think
that's
Mina
not
Kimes
the Ravens.
The Ravens can go right up the spine of the defense.
They
and
will
that's where
smack you in the face.
Now the Texans have had some success over the middle with one. I don't know if you've heard of this young up and comer, Nico Collins. So
but you mention it.
Yeah. So yeah. Nico, you know what? Football gods, thank you. I'll light an extra candle today to honor you. Thank you for giving me a dose of reality and a reminder that, man, any given Sunday, you wipe the slate clean. I don't care how ugly the Texans have played and been, that this is just like every other team in the NFL. They have their flaws. They have their blemishes. They have their weaknesses. And it was nice to see a little bit of that before you face the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
I would like to think that the Texans team themselves didn't need that reminder, but for me as a fan, it's got extra juice. I feel better and more confident about
Bills
it.
Bills a 2.5-point favorite at Energy Stadium.
I thought they
Sunday.
Were, you know what? I was going to call them a 5-point favorite. I did before that game. But then
Well, the 2.5 came out before the Bills got blown out by the Ravens. So I'll take a look and see what
it is.
The
Texans haven't beat the spread yet.
They're 0-4 against the spread. Yeah. If you're a Texan fan who's been actually betting on the Texans to show support, my apologies for the bankruptcy that you're in right now.
They almost, I mean, if that near safety at the end of the game would have gotten the over and would have gotten the
that was wild.
We'll cover the spread.
We'll get to
that.
We'll get to that and acknowledge me for sure. D'Amico Ryan's locker room speech. Does he sound like a different D'Amico at all in this one? We'll talk about that. And CJ Stroud putting on the cape yesterday. We will go through what was, I thought, a masterful final drive, not just by CJ Stroud, but by a few other people as well. We'll explain coming up next.